the Medrash on the Pasuk on the upper right hand corner. At the famous revelation to Avram Avinu, Vayi Hashem Shlovo B'Tardeima Nafla Al Avram. So this tremendous tiredness overwhelmed Avram Avinu. V'hine Eima Chashecha Gedola Nafla Salav. This frightening, tremendous darkness fell upon Avram Avinu. Vayomer Avram Yadoa Teida. So I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is, you are the father of a people. The bad news is, the people are going to be going into exile in the future. Be'eretz lo lahem. And they're going to have some rough times. Va'avadum v'inu otam arba me'ot shana. So at this moment of revelation, Avram is understanding that he's the father of a people, but they're, again, as we just said, they're going to be going through difficult times. This is the headquarters of Avram being told that there is going to be exile, there's going to be galus. And the Medrash takes this pasuk as a springboard towards elaborating on the different stages of exile. There are four main subdivisions of exile following this exile of Mitzrayim. He's being told about the Golas Mitzrayim, but within that, the Medrash darshens out, V'hine, we said, Eima Chashecha Gdola Nofelet Alav, four Lishonot, Nofeles Alav Zu Bavel, and the Medrash darshens out, the connection between this phrase, this lashon of Nofeles and Bavel from a pasuk, and Gdola Zu Madai, again bringing a pasuk connection, connecting the exile of Madai to Gdola Chashecha, the darkness Zu Yavan. Why? Shechshicha Einayim Shel Yisrael B'Gzerotel. They darken the eyes of Bnei Yisrael with their decrees. For example, Shaita Omeret LeYisrael Kitvu Al Keren Hashor She'ein Lachem Chilek B'Elokei Yisrael. An example of the darkest of the decrees of Yavan. They forced us to strange kind of Gzera. They forced us to write on the horn of a shor that we have no chelek, chas v'shalom, in the God of Yisrael. Eima zu Edom, and again bringing a pasuk connecting Edom to the lashon of Eima. You recognize these four, right? For those of you who know Jewish history, you recognize them from Jewish history. For those of you who don't know Jewish history, you recognize them from Malos Tzur, which is really Malos Tzur is the Twitter version of Jewish history. It's summing up all of Jewish history, basically, on one foot. I'll regular.
First time, first reference. Made it to Kislev without a Twitter reference. Okay? But I broke. Okay? It's the summing it up all together from, okay, we have in there, we have the first exile and Geula, Galus of Mitzrayim, and the Geula of Mitzrayim. There's a stanza. And then there's a stanza of the Galus of Bavel, and then, leaving the Galus of Bavel, there's a stanza of the Galus of Madai, and the Geula of Purim, the Galus of Yavan. That's the stanza that stands out. That's the one we do understand what it's doing there. And right, the Geula from Yavan, the Galus of Edom, the Roman Empire, and waiting anxiously, anticipating redemption. The Geula that we're waiting for, Be'ezrat Hashem, let it be today. The Geula from
Ki orcha lanu asha, the long, long, dark, long, long, I can't mix up lashonos, okay? In this context, long, ema, ema zu edom. To really plug in a little, to really al regalachas, just plugging, putting, getting things straight, this is not... Bezat Hashem, in 2 weeks from now, there will be a speaker coming in who will organize Jewish history al regel achas to give us a better understanding. But for right now, just as a side point, to get things straight in terms of timetable, the creation of, we're right now in year 5772, the creation of the world until... Yimon Sanhedrin says the world is divided up into three sections. This is three sections, 2,000 years of Tohu, of chaos, 2,000 years of Torah, and then 2,000 years, Yimon Mashiach, that the world is ripe for Mashiach to come. Right? Where does the beginning, where does the period of Torah start from? Adi. Avram Avinu. Not Matan Torah, Avram Avinu. Which was what year? Out of the 6,000, Adi.
1948.
Excellent. 1948. Okay, right. We can remember it because of something else that stands out our minds. It's interesting to note the parallelism. Okay, whatever. You can dash it on your own. Another time. That's not what we're talking about right now. Right. It's all kinds of. Not the same system of keeping track of time of years. We're talking about 1948 from the beginning of creation. Avram Avinu was born, and that starts that period of Torah. Torah develops. Avram gets the Yaakov, the Shvatim. The Shvatim go down to Mitzrayim. They go down into Mitzrayim. And then leave Mitzrayim after the Gulf of Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we go into Am Yisrael, comes into Eretz Yisrael. From the time, right, we're in the Midbar 40 years, we come into Eretz Yisrael, how much time goes by before the Jewish people build the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash?
Midbar 40 years.
I believe it's how long?
440 years
between, let's just throw out in general terms, between 400 and 500 years. Okay, I think right, I've heard 490 years, 440, between 400 and 500 years until the first Beis HaMikdash is built. The first Beis HaMikdash lasts for how long? Until there's the first of the four. Then, following the time, we have four exiles, right? The Babylonian exile. Galut Babel, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash is after how many years?
410.
And then we have 70 years, the break, during those 70 years. And that break is the Galus of Paras and Madai, the story of Purim, building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and then the second Beis HaMikdash lasts for 420 years. The story of Hanukkah, the third, okay, Golus of Yavan, in the middle of Beit Sheni. How far into Beit Sheni? Around 200. Around 200 years. Okay, and part of that celebration is the fact that we continue to have the Malchus another 200 plus years. And then the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash in approximately the year 70 according to the general calendar. Okay? It's the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash by the Romans, Galus, Edom. Those are the four Galiot. After that, then the Jews are sent out into exile. We have Jews going to the lands of the Muslims, the Arab countries. We have Jews then spreading to Europe, the lands of Ashkenaz, the division of Sephardim and Ashkenazim. And then in our last century, the influx of Jews to Israel, and etc. Okay, that's al regalachas, from the beginning of the development of the Jewish people until now into perspective, and specifically here, what we're talking about as far as Hanukkah. We see here, lamadu from this medrash, we see something about Golos. And there's a fundamental insight into what exile, what Golos is. Golos and Gu'ul. But if at the very beginning, the Besurah, the news that's being told to Avraham Avinu, you're going to have children and then they're going to go into exile. What do we see about Galus and Geula? We see that there's a process here. It's not just, okay, you know, you did something. It's not just a slap on the hand, you did something bad, okay, this is your punishment. But rather, it's part of the process of development of Am Yisrael, the development of the Jewish people, takes place through these stages of development. There's something that Am Yisrael is meant to gain, to develop, we're supposed to mature and gain through in our struggle with Bavel and grow out of that. We grow up to one level in our struggle with Paras of Madai, the time of Purim, in our struggle with Yavan, in our struggle in this last struggle, where eventually, finally, we reach the point of maturity, Gula, basic maturity, that we reach the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to reach. What is unique? We're focusing B'chozot, we're a little bit before, going towards Chanukah. What's unique about the Golas of Chanukah?
We're in Israel.
What else? The Beis HaMikdash is still standing. It's in the middle of Bayis Sheni. 200 years into Bayis Sheni, and the Beis HaMikdash continues to stand another 200 plus years. And the struggle is not just Jews against non-Jews. We have a phenomenon of the mitgavnim. Those who pull towards Yavan, and there's a struggle from within. So the Beis HaMikdash is standing. We're here in Eretz Yisrael. That's probably part of this darkness. Hashecha zu Yavan, the darkness. The darkness of ideology. The lack of clarity. Jew against Jew. You can't pin it all on what's going on by the Goyim who are oppressing us. There's a problem from here from within. So let's take a step back. If we're talking about a problem from within Klal Yisrael, and that's what we want to try to understand, and that's maybe where our curiosity level is at right now, connected to within different approaches within the Jewish people, different hashkafa. What does the word hashkafa mean? Hashkif. Hashkifa mimon kachukar. Perspective. The way you look. Lashkif is to look out. Right? The way you view, your viewpoint. Different ways of viewing things. Right? If we go back to the first, it's a rule of Rav Tzadok HaKohen Meilublin, but before that, a rule of the Eben Ezra. When you want to understand the concept in a very fundamental way, go back to the first time that it appears in the Torah. That's where the headquarters is. There you can gain the greatest insight into what's happening, into whatever concept it is. So here we're talking right now, we're talking about some kind of a strife, struggle, disagreement, different perspectives within Bnei Yisrael. Where's the first time that appears? Within Bnei Yisrael. Within Bnei Yisrael. Within Bnei Yisrael. Within Yosef and his brothers. Right? Right there, already. Within the first Bnei Yisrael. Right? Within Yosef and his brothers. There's something going on. That's what we want to try to understand a little bit more clearly. What this struggle is. And in Cain it should then be connected to this struggle, again, this darkness struggle within Am Yisrael, and a little bit of a remez. To start out with a remez, the second source on the sheet is a fascinating Bnei Yisoskar that talks about the second line, Yesh Lahavin Adavar Al Pima Shakosov, in the Sefer Megale Amukos in Pashas Vayesh Miketz. Galus Yavan Haya Litaken Chet Mechiras Yosef. And another, right? Melech, he has a gematria here. Melech Yavan Begematria Yosef. And he adds on another one, Venir Eliyoda, Melech Harosha, Azeh Ayishma Antiochus, Hineu Gamkin Begematria Yosef, 156. Yosef, 156, Gematria Melech Yavan. and even a direct connection. Look at the pasuk in Zechariah. Ki darachti liyuda keshet mileti Ephraim. We have a bow and arrow here. The bow of Yehuda, which is filled. The ammunition is Ephraim. We have Ephraim is Yosef. So we have Yehuda, and Yehuda is always representing the brothers. Yehuda and Yosef, bow and arrow, working together against who? Orati banayach Tzion al banayach Yavan v'samticha kecherav Gibor. This is the key to victory over Yavan. When Yosef and the brothers, Yosef and Yehuda, work together, this is the key to victory over Yavan. Again, within it's, you could take it there also. We're focusing right now only on within Bnei Yisrael, but Nachon, to elaborate more, you can go there as well. But for now, let's keep it within Bnei Yisrael. And in the final Geula, as we say also in Moz Tzur, study, get before Hanukkah, go through, get a translation. If you're not sure on any of the words, go through it carefully. It's amazing how it, again, to sum up thousands of years in a couple of words. Oz Egmar v'shir mizmor. The Geula, the fourth level of Edom, Oz Egmar, is finishing up a process which began during the time of the Geula of Yavan. And here you see this process continuing of Yosef and his brothers, and this is, it's also interesting to know that it comes out bidyuk during these parshias. The parshias of the struggle of Yosef and his brothers is bidyuk the lead up to Chanukah, and the Haftorah of Vayigash, which is always, it's around almost all the time, is the Haftorah, Chanukah time, describes what? The prophecy of the end of the days of Geula, Vayidvar Hashem, source 4, Vayidvar Hashem Elai Leimor, Vata Ben Adam, Kach Lecha Eitz Echad Uchtov Alav Li Yehuda, V'Livnei Yisrael Chavirav. U'Lekach Eitz Echad Uchtov Alav Li Yosef Eitz Ephraim Chobet Yisrael Chavirav. Two blocks of wood. One block right Yosef, one block of wood right Yehuda. And what should you do with these two blocks of wood? The karev otam echad el echad lecha le'etz echad v'ayu le'achadim b'yodecha. Bring them together. Bring the Yosef and Yehuda blocks of wood together. V'kasher yomru elecha b'nei amcha le'mar. When people say to you, halo tagid lanu. When people say to you, what are you doing with these two blocks of wood? I'm gathering the Jewish people from around the world, bringing them to their land. Geula, redemption. V'asiti otam legoy echad ba'aretz ba'arei Yisrael u'melech echad yeh l'kulam l'melech v'lo yeh od l'shnei goyim v'lo yeh chatzu od l'shtei mamlechot od. The end of days, Ozegmar, and the final Geula, this process of bringing together the bow and the arrow, Yosef and Yehuda, which it brings about the Nitzach and the victory over Yavan, that is the key to the, that is the celebration of the final Geula. Until we get there, we're not there yet, let it be soon. We're trying to get there, so to try to get there, we got to understand a little bit more clearly, let's say, our mission, or understand what's going on, or whether it's looking backwards and understanding the past. What was this? What is this strife? What's the problem here between Yosef and Yehuda? You know, Yosef Atzadik and Yehuda Atzadik, what do they have against each other? Who was Yosef that Yehuda had anything against them? What was Yehuda's Hashkaf, what was his perspective? How did he look at things that caused him to have problems? Yosef, Yehuda and the brothers caused him to have problems with Yosef. So let's start and understand who is Yosef, but in a clean slate. Let's understand. Look at some basic, some psukim, some words of Chazal that we're familiar with, but looking at it, like I said, with a clean slate. What do we know about Yosef? So we know, Vayhi Yosef Yifei Toar VeYifei Mara. We are told, and we're not told this about everybody in Tanakh. We're told specifically, the pasuk goes out of its way to tell us that Yosef was good. Yosef, Yifei Toar, VeYifei Mareh. Not only is Yosef good looking, but the Medrash and Rashi, we all know this from Rashi, the bottom of the sheet. Yosef ben Shvasre Shanav, who nar? So the Medrash says, but he's 17, he's a big boy. He's 17 years old. What do you mean he's a nar? He's a kid. Ata omer hu nar? Elo, why is he called a nar? Why is he called a child? Elo shahoya ose ma'aseh na'arut. He acted a little bit like a child. For example, mimashmesh be'enav, matle ba'akevav. He patted his, mimashmesh be'enav, patted his eyes, matle ba'akevav, turned on his heel, mitaken b'sa'aro, fixed his hair. He's good looking. He's got his walk down. He's got his hair down. Everything's in place. Everything. So good looking that Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Aleayin, the bracha of Yaakov, which we know the bracha is the greatest insight, which is the greatest blessing we can ever ask for, is an insight into understanding a little bit more clearly who we really are. That's the bracha of Yaakov, teaching his sons, he's helping them understand who they are. Who is Yosef, Ben Parat Yosef, Ben Parat Aleayin, Benot Tzada Alei Shor, says Rashi, Ben Parat Aleayin, Cheino Natui Al Ayin Aroeoto. Cheino, his chain, he's charming. He has a lot of charm. Benot Tzada Alei Shor means what? Banot Mitzrayim hayu tzadot al achoma listakel biyofyo. He was so good looking that banot tzada, the girls climbed alei shor on the wall to be able to see this guy. Wow. Banot harbe tzada kol achad v'achad v'makom shetuchal lirot misham. So many girls going all over to a place where each one would be able to see this handsome, charming young man. Gemara Sota tells us that one of the reasons that Potiphar bought Yosef was because of his beauty. The Medrash describes when Ashes Potiphar was trying to have her friends understand the difficulties, the challenge that she's facing by living in a house with this guy. And still, like, not messing around. The Medrash describes this following scene. Amru Chazal, source 8. Pam achat nitkapzu hamitzriot uval lirot yofyo shel Yosef. So our friends say, you know, who is this guy in your house? They should put it for that one. Let's try. Ma Ashet Potiphar said, you know what you want to see who he is? Ma asta Ashet Potiphar natla etrogin v'natna lekol achad v'achad mehem. She gave each one of her friends an esrog, right? They had subtitles, right? She gave each one an esrog, v'natna l'kol echad v'hem, v'natna sakin l'kol echad v'achad, and she gave each one a knife. And Yosef is backstage. She has them around in a semicircle. Each one has an esrog. Each one has a knife, and says, "Okay, start cutting your esrog." And then she calls in Yosef from backstage. V'kara leYosef v'hemidato lefnehem. Kevan shehayu mistaklot biyofyo shel Yosef, hayu chotchot et yideihem. They were so overwhelmed with the beauty of Yosef. Straight through the esrog, down into their hand, cut their hands. Amra lehenu ma atem b'shoa achas kach ani shebekol shoa b'shoa ro'el oto al achas kama v'kama. Can you imagine what I have to go through living in the house with this guy? So this is what some of the things that we're told about Yosef. And here at this point, knowing a little bit about, again, to bring us back to Hanukkah, to bring us back to our conflict with Yavan, with Greek philosophy, with Greek culture, with Greek art. Here we find something that Yosef has in common with Yavan. There's some point here of connection in terms of relating to beauty, success within that realm of physical beauty. Yosef holds his own. Yosef is successful. You know, there's a point of connection here. But how did they say? So close, yet so far. The point of departure is the point of turning the beauty into an end. Worshipping beauty. Seeing again that beauty as purpose, as the Greek outlook, what Greek culture did. There's a famous, within the world of history about Greece, there's a famous historian, William Durant, some of you may have heard of. So in his book, Life of Greece, just to take one, it's not on the sheet, just one sentence, he talks about Greek art. We miss in Greek art the study of character and the portrayal of the soul, and its infatuation with physical beauty and wealth leaves it less mature. Yosef appreciates beauty. He recognizes the power of beauty as a form of expression here in this world, being part of life. However, he uses it as a stepping stone, a springboard to reach higher purpose. If you will, he puts the tzaddik in front of Yavan, creating that power of Tzion. And Tzion, which is Tzion Chlilas Yofi. Tzion is the epitome of beauty. When we come to Tzion, and the Beis HaMikdash then, which is when Tzion is in all of its glory, we can't escape the attention, the airtime, that beauty, physical beauty, holds. And here, the Medrash talks about the relationship in 9, Mash'ira li-Yosef, ira li-Tzion. The connection and the relationship between Yosef and Tzion. Mash'ktiv b'Yosef, k'tiv b'Tzion. B'Yosef k'tiv, yifei toar v'yifei mareh. B'Tzion k'tiv, klilas yofi. Again, both of them are really successful, they're really good. Succeed in this realm of yofi, of beauty. And, I mentioned some gematries before, some of you may have already figured it out. Again, notice that here also, Yosef and Tzion, once again, Tzion is also 156. Melech Yavan, on one hand, gematria of Yosef, and Tzion also, but, you know, okay, and if you don't care for gematrias, you have the words of the Medrash saying explicitly, Kol Masha Ira Li Yosef, Ira Li Tzion, and continues to describe the special relationship that Yosef and Tzion have. This aspect of Eretz, of Yerushalayim, of Tzion, Klilas Yofi, the epitome of beauty. In other words, the role that Zekeli Van Vey, or as the Gras says, Sheker HaChein, everybody knows the great Gras, Sheker HaChein Vehevel HaYofi, Isha Yiras Hashem, Hiti Talal, says the Gras, it's talking back on the Chein and the Yofi. On its own, that's Sheker HaChein Vehevel HaYofi, period, the end, when it ends there, that's Yavan. In other words, Chein and Yofi, that want to turn themselves into the end, the purpose, what is that worth? It's skin deep, it's sheker, it's nothingness, it's hevel. But Isha, Yiras Hashem, when a woman, or over here, when Yerushalayim is using this Yofi to be able to make its mark on the world, because that has its place, that makes an impression. It's something that makes a statement, and sometimes a very strong statement. It has its place in the world. He to tala turns it, then the chen and the Yofi then become praiseworthy. That sounds really impressive. That sounds great. That sounds like a powerful message that Yosef has. Yosef HaTzadik. The Tzadik Yisod Olam. As the Pasuk in Mishlei says. We all know. Right? The Yisod Olam. But you hear now, you hear it, and then maybe maybe it resonates a little bit differently right now with this background. Tzadik Yisod Olam. The connection to the world. The tzaddik in this context of the Yosef tzaddik that connects the Yofi to a higher purpose. So it sounds so great. What's the problem with that? What's the problem with that the brothers have? Ella, we know. And SB, not so pushit. Not so pushit. At the time of the Egel, 10, Natal Haluach Shakasala Vamosha Ale Shor, Kishela Arono Shal Yosef, Hishlichu Toch Akur Bein Anizamim Vyotza Egel. We find here, in a very dark side, in a miserable side, some kind of a connection between Yosef, again, Ale Shor, rise the bull, Yosef, Bechor Shor, Yosef, this is the, right, the symbol is symbolized by the bull, Bechor Shor, that was used to raise up the Aron of Yosef. This was thrown into the furnace to create the Egel. What is this saying? There's a side here which is a side connected to the Egel. It runs the risk of distraction, of not being focused, of turning a side point into a main point, turning a means into the end. That is the creation of an Egel. Just the beauty to worship. Worshipping the beauty, that's an egel. And that was the danger. That is the danger. That's the risk. Look at the bottom, 12. Vayomru ish al achiv, when the brothers saw this Yosef coming, how do they refer to Yosef? Hine baal achalomos al azeboa. Here comes the dreamer. Here's the baal achalomos. What were they saying to each other? Medrash says, "Vayomru ish al achiv hinei baal achalomos." Amar Rav Levi, "Zeh, this guy, with his hashkafa, with his outlook, with his way of life of connecting to the physical, zeh atid lahasiyam lebaalim. He's going to end up leading our children to idols. We're building a people now. We're bringing a powerful message to the world. We're establishing, this is the foundation of Am Yisrael. And look at this rotten apple. With this with this as part of our foundation, if we leave room for this outlook, our kids are going to end up, our descendants are going to end up being Ovei Avodah Zarah. Another egel of Avodah Zarah connection. Tana 13, upper left hand corner. Also the Gemara and Shabbos. Daf Nun Vav. Also Ayom Sheichnis Yiravim Shnei Egle Zav. Echad beBeit El veEchad beDan. That brought about Nivnet Tzrif Echad veZeu Italia Shel Yavan. Italia Shel Yavan is right. We don't understand it. Not going to discuss what it is right now. It sounds like we know Italy is Italy. That's Rome, and Yavan is Greece. So you have a connection here between Greece and Rome. We spoke a little before. We alluded to the connection between Oz and Gmar, how the Geula from Edom, the fourth Golos, is continuing what was started in the Geula from Yavan. But in any case, again, we find Yeravan, again from Yosef, again, is off, and the development of an egel. In other words, the Yehuda approach, the approach of the brothers, led by Yehuda, is a zero-tolerance approach. There's no room for messing around. We're setting up the Jewish people. We need the holy people. There's no room over. This is too great a risk. This is the attitude of Shimon Velevi. 14, Shimon Velevi Achim. They're brothers. They're brothers in attitude, brothers in thought. Klei Chamas Mechiroseim, says Rashi, Be'etza Achas. Man, one Eitza, one attitude, Al Shechem, regarding Shechem, they went out an iron fist, zero tolerance policy. No messing around with us regarding Dina. And as far as Yosef also, Va'al Yosef, Va'yom, Ruish Alachav, Inei Bala Chaloma, Sozev Ata, Lechu, V'Nahar Geil. Let's get rid of him. This is dangerous. And it was L'Shem Shamayim. It was L'Shem Shamayim. Yosef, on the other hand, Vatirav Koleret Mitzrayim Vegitzaka Mal Paro Lechem, and Paro says, "What do you want from me? Go to Yosef. You're hungry. Go to Yosef." The same. Look at the difference in using Bris Mila. Shimon HaLevi used Bris Mila to knock out the town. Yosef uses Bris Mila. You're hungry. Kevan Sher Chizei Karav Ba'aretz Mitkapzu Amitzrim Ubo Eitz Yosef Amu Lo Tnolanu Lechem Amar Lehem. Sorry. You want to get close to God. And, you know, you're hungry. You want bread. You understand that maybe I can help you. I am a religious man. I believe in God. And my God, Elokai, Eino Zan Es Ha'arelim. L'chu v'mulu et atzmechem v'etein lechem. They run back to Paro. You hear what he wants? We're supposed to go ahead and give us a bris mila. Paro says, look, you're hungry. He wants bread. You gotta follow what he wants. And that's the point is, though. Look at the same mice of Mila, the Shimon and Levi approach knocks out the town of Shechem. Yosef is using it to bring people close to a message that he's trying to bring to the world. And each one, in the closing moments, to touch upon, I think everybody's plugging into their minds. The different approaches, different hashkafa. Right now is not the time, and no given one point is the time for guiding a person specifically. What's the right? Whenever you be very wary of when you hear the term the right hashkafa, because there are nachon, and there's maybe something complex because we are a people. We definitely do believe Moshe emes. Moshe is emes, and the Torah is emes, and we're looking always to try to clarify and be truthful. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that there aren't different approaches. Shivim, and that doesn't exclude shivim panim the Torah. There's what to say for the Yosef side, and there's what to say for the Yehud and the brother side. Meaning making light, naivete, and making light, not paying proper attention to the risks that come along with involvement in this world. Call it, again, and now we're here, the symbolism here, the Yosef approach. Not paying attention to possible dangers can be very, very dangerous in life. For Yosef to succeed, for a tzaddik to succeed, he can succeed. He can succeed. He was successful. He was successful at overcoming the greatest temptations in the world. He's the rebbe of overcoming temptations of being seduced by a woman. The greatest temptations of that this world can send our way. Because of the fact that he recognized clearly, wasn't naive and was not superficial regarding the dangers out there in the world. At the same time, he felt, I can be successful here, and this is where my calling is, and I will be successful here. And he, the hero, almost a quasi of Yosef HaTzadik. You and the brothers, again, there's what to say, but it's for their approach of being cautious, but sometimes being over cautious can be dangerous. In other words, in one word, they have balance and inner contemplation, thinking for ourselves in a very real way. Different people, by their personality, have different callings. And when the two work together, the words of the Zohar, Vahiga Shelav Yehuda, my time of Yehuda. So, to sum up, and we'll just pluck out a couple of words here. The second line, Varaza Demila, the secret of the matter is Yehuda v'Yosef hachi etzricha litkava kachada begin the Yosef yu tzadik Yehuda yu melech v'aldova yigash elav Yehuda begin the kurva de lahon de kriva kachada garam kama tavin la'alma. When these two unite, it brings about so much good to the world. Meaning when a person, Galus also is not, on an individual level, is not knowing our place. The darkness of being lost. Geula, on a personal level, on an individual level, is when we find our place. We start to know ourselves. We start to clarify for ourselves where our calling is, where our strengths are, and implementing that. And when there can be the unity which allows complementing each other and different forces with Am Yisrael, working together, garam kama tavan la'amna, it brings so much tov, brings so much good to the world. It's the words that ask you, beg, see on your own, the words of Rav Schwab at the end of his essay, Elu ve'elu, going back and forth almost in debate fashion between the Torah and Derech Eretz and the Hirshian model of Torah and involvement in the world as opposed to a Torah-only approach. I haven't seen it in print for a while. If you can get hold of it, if anyone gets hold of it, please let me know. But I haven't seen it around. If you can get hold of a copy, it's a fantastic. It's a required reading, definitely for. It's a required reading. Going through the two sides here that we've been discussing. And that is the idea sometimes you've heard of Rav Kook's. You've heard of the term Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Right? I'm sure everybody in this room has heard those terms. Those two terms are it's the same idea, Rav Kook's. Rav Kook has a famous hesped for Herzl, where he makes some kind of a reference, which if it's taken out of context, without understanding what we've been speaking about over the last 45 minutes, it just sounds like it's a little bit off the wall. Calling Herzl, a non-religious Jew, connected to Mashiach ben Yosef? Where is that from? That's a little too far. Spiky apples. That's like, whoa. Ella, when we understand it in this context, we understand Mashiach, and this is how it was elaborated on in the Talmud of Groh, put together the Sefer Kol HaTor. Mashiach ben Yosef is the stage of the building of the Jewish people that we've seen in our times, the physical rebuilding of Am Yisrael. This is the teachings of the Groh. Gathering Jews coming to Israel, Israel coming to life. A country and everything that is involved in that, an economy and an army, the physical coming to life, the Yosef side, the blossoming, that's Mashiach ben Yosef. And Herzl was a tremendous warrior within that camp of the rebuild. He was missing a ton as far as what a Jew is, and his connection of Torah. The next stage, let it be, Bekar Yemenu, is Mashiach ben David, that side of Yehuda, which is Mashlim. Again, everything that's missing, the warrior on the side of the spirit. And Rav Kook himself writes about the fact that we're sure that we're heading with, as much as we're putting an emphasis on the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael, we're heading towards challenges of rebuilding the spiritual side of Am Yisrael. Hamisped b'Yerushalayim, it's called the eulogy in Yerushalayim. In any case, this is food for thought on these two sides. A lot of the ideas here are from Rav Soloveitchik in his Chamesh Drashot regarding Yosef and the brothers. This is a process which continues over many days, weeks, months, and years in our life, adding to the food for thought that go into us developing our personal outlook.
Oh, yeah.
and connected to the idea of a rift with them by Israel.
Okay, yeah, that's just what I'm
I have a question.
You know,